Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order, which is way harder to do than the audio record would indicate. We have a fiscal year 2026 budget workshops, and next is development services. So with that, Jay, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Pleasure to be here. Proud to present my first budget to the board.
All right.
For discussion and otherwise, just to open things. Development services, our mission is the same as your mission with regard to the county. Balance and diverse interests, and there's a lot of them out there. Trying to be responsive from a customer service standpoint, that's a mandate of development services itself. We service our development community folks. We service building permits. We service basically anybody that's got a zoning question that walks in the door. Try to respond to them appropriately in a very timely fashion. So currently, development services consists of 30 FTEs, director, assistant director. I have a staff of 9, 8 planners and a planning supervisor, 2 GIS folks, 1 engineer, 3 administration folks from office management to hearing specialists to a senior admin that fulfills all the public records requests. We have a staff of 10 in the building department that includes inspectors, plan reviewers, building officials, and the permit development services permit desk, the face of our department, and they do a very good job. And that's been noted in many of my conversations with folks from the development community that I haven't seen for a number of years, per se, and haven't been into development service for a number of years, commenting that the impression that they get when they walk in the door and the smiles on my staff's face is very reassuring to them when they've never seen it before. And I'm proud to have good folks throughout my department. They support me and they make me look good. And then co-enforcement, of course, we have 3 staff, 2 inspectors, and Eric is the supervisor that also does inspection at the same time. So with regard to my 2026 request, I looked at year-to-date historical budgets from the last few years, where it was, where it's going, and what projected. Of course, as you know, we adopted a new fee schedule that didn't happen till March, so that's basically mid-fiscal year. Most of our numbers were based on having that in place the whole fiscal year. What I found is that doesn't hurt us very badly because building permits are on a roll. They're way up. We have 492, as of May 1st, 492 residential building permits themselves. And then 37 commercial ones on top of that. But it's a big number. It ends up, I'm asking for a slight increase over last year. It's roughly a little over $50,000 that amounts to a request to put an additional $50,000 in the code enforcement abatement fund, and that's a difference between 3473 to 3558. Personnel and salaries are pretty the same. We are not adding people. I don't anticipate adding any additional FTEs this year. We have 1 part-time in the code enforcement admin at the moment. We are good. We have a good staff. We've got a full staff of planners to finish out. There is our backlog and what have you. So salary is pretty stagnant at the moment. I'm not saying stagnant. They're pretty much held the line, and I'm not sure, you know, what all is going to happen when HR figures in benefits and what have you for the coming year. I don't know that I have that total number yet. But according to my plan book, that's where we stand, a little bit up from last year. My B budget, I'm asking for $516,200. That includes the $50,000 additional in abatement costs. And so we asked for 50 last year. We used 50, almost 50, 3 weeks ago. in order to build that fund for future and then anticipate that those lien repayments come in over the course of 3-4 years, hopefully. And then it will go back into the same account and we won't be adding $100,000 every year. That then that will become a revolving fund, which would be very helpful. As I said, my revenue assumptions, I calculated 19 ways to Sunday, but taking my year to date, the 1st of May, calculating what my application rates were and what we anticipate through the through the 30th of September, and adding those to the new fee schedule as opposed to what has come in to date is all on the old fee schedule. Right. Gave a lot of work away. We're also able to, because of the way we restructured our fee schedule, we're able to get reimbursed for some of the engineering fees that went out to consultants. What we do in-house, we can bill back to our applicants during the course of the process before they gain approval. There's an avenue there. It's just been going out the door in the past couple of years, and with to the consultants. We'll still have consultant contracts simply because we need a county surveyor. That's half of that. And then at times we have, be it complicated projects or projects that came through originally reviewed by the consulting engineer, rather than start their process over and get Dahlia up to speed on each individual one that's in the hearing process at this point as things change. Many times, current to this year, we have sent them back out to the consulting engineer because they had all the notes and everything that they were looking for in the first time. So basically, our revenues, I anticipate being another $400,000 in addition to this year from the previous fiscal year. That's about a 14.1% increase. I'm asking for 11% in the B budget, and the rest of it kind of take care of itself, hopefully. So accomplishments.
Sorry, year. Second.
Yes.
Kyle, you have a question?
Yes. Sorry, Jay, commissioners. Just looking for clarification on the part-time. You say you were or were not going to keep that
part-time. We already have a 29-hour part-time person.
Okay.
And so she's gonna remain.
Okay.
She's part of our staff. We're not adding staff to make another part-time.
Okay. It was just left off the budget that we have, so we'll make sure to get that in.
Right. I have a slide.
Oh, okay. I was like,
it shows the rest of the org chart, so you can see in this color-coded what's currently staffed and what we're not asking for.
Okay. Chairman?
Yes.
I have another question, and it's on point 9 under your B budget operating expenses. So I just want clarification. You've indicated a $50,000 increase, which I agree with is appropriate, but it's actually $59,400 on what was last year and proposed for this year. So you've got a narrative in there that talks about replacing code books, but you also have an offsetting reduction in staff education and training. So just help me clarify that.
Right, and there is one element that I worked into my budget. It's a request for a software I've been working with IT that actually is seat-based for my permit development services technicians that makes it really simple, efficient, and consistent across the board. When they send an email with answers to inquiries from the public, those answers come from our checklist and what's required code code references and plan references. Those all can be moved. You're checking the boxes and it assimilates them all into a single email that can be then sent out to that customer. It's about $7,100 a year.
Okay.
So we're trying to get that set up. I've made that request. That's $7,000 different. I also added in, I calculated the overtime that lines up from the last 17 months as to come up with the number for the coming year.
Okay.
Because instead of comp time, it'll be overtime, but
thank you.
That's where that adds up to. The code, the building code will be changing. The state will adopt the next one. And we'll have to replace our books for our inspectors and billing officials, and that's $2,000 or $3,000 endeavor.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on that part yet?
I guess not.
I'll raise some more, I'm sure.
Okay.
So our accomplishments for the past year is basically we've maintained, we worked very hard to get a staff that was a well-trained staff and have the numbers to respond to the board's wish to get rid of the backlog of hearing applications, become more efficient, as well as the building department or the division. It used to be 4 or 5 weeks to get a building permit. It's 2 presently. And so they really pushed themselves to get through the permit review from the application to the plan review, what have you, to having them out the door. So we put some things in place to make that happen. But we're trying to keep our staff. I lost a few, we reshuffled a few. I have one opening at the moment, and that's a front desk development services technician that it has been posted for 1.5 weeks. I have a dozen applications at least so far. We'll be interviewing for that position in the next week. So we reduced the backlog to a point where there are no applications sitting in the queue waiting for planners to be assigned, and that includes 2025 applications as well that have been accepted since the 1st of January. All of those are in the hands of my planners. They're a little overwhelmed at the moment because we just brought 3 new ones on board. They'll be reshuffling to ease some burden, but they all have 10 or 12 applications on the table. And so spreading that wealth and getting them through, we've been able to, some of those applications that dated back to 23 have already been through the hearing process because I was able to get them to the planners to reevaluate. They've been, some of those older ones have been stuck behind a whole bunch of complicated ones, and I couldn't just move them from, I could see they were a little more simple, basically. Simple request, but still have to go to the hearing process. So we were able to assign all those out, and then the planner had the allowance to go through and decide what was ready to go right now. And so they've been into the hearing process for the past 2 months. So we're moving on that. I anticipate that we'll be done with that by the end of this year. And next year we'll be retasking as far as we're going to stay current. We're not going to fall behind. We're going to be processing 2026 applications when 2026 begins. That's the beauty of that. There will be a few from 25 or 24 or whatever. They're still going through the hearing process.
Right.
But they will have all been processed and reviewed, scheduled. At that time, that's going to allow us to take and team up some of the planning staff to endeavor on all the ordinance changes that need to be made with regard to implementing the comp plan that we are going to be looking to do by the end of the fiscal year. So the next year is ordinance updates, some more community engagement activities, just to make sure, you know, we hear the voices before you do, hopefully. But we've worked really hard to get to this point, and I'm proud that we are there, pretty close. In the past year, we went through all of our processes and our applications and staff reports and what have you, and streamlined those to be more consistent and more pertinent to the application that's been submitted and needs to be addressed. Worked very closely with the legal staff as well to make sure that our findings are appropriate and formulated the most efficient way possible to assist the Planning Zoning Commission hearing examiner as well as you. We did reinstitute the hearing examiner this year. We haven't had one for a little more than a year. We needed to get to a point where we could fill up the PNC Commission's agenda, and then by bringing a hearing examiner back, they're able to take the load off and have 2 or 3 cases a month as well. And so that's been working for the last 3 months. We've knocked a few out that way. But that also adds a few thousand more into the PNC Commission / hearing examiner budget, because we have a stipend and a reimbursement for mileage, what have you. But it's just one. It gets paid by application versus just a night, where PNC needs two hearings a month. So that's a stipend times two, where the hearing examiner hears once a month, but he's getting paid by the two or three applications that he goes through. It works out in the wash in that regard. It's considerably less, but the hearing examiner is envisioned to take the applications that are less controversial and more straight up conditional uses, could be simple rezones or simple preliminary plats for that matter. We have a lot of leeway from state law as to what types of applications the hearing examiner can hear. And so we're really looking at our workload to figure out ahead of time which direction we're gonna go, but what makes the most sense. And to this day, we're still working through the state mandated Ag Protection Act ordinance. We've updated that and got that signed appropriate to the time frames. We'll form an Ag Preservation or Protection Commission in the not too distant future. I haven't heard from anybody that's interested so far, and so we'll be ready should that come to pass. And as you're aware, this year's mandate is we need to review all the cities, area city impact boundaries, and that's all we're focused on through the end of the year. And I have a team of planners that have already reached out and have coordinated with the cities. So they're getting their things together, their decks in a row, so that when October comes, you're ready to have those hearings on 8 or 9. Of course, we budgeted last year for code enforcement abatements, and we accomplished a big one. And hopefully we can continue to do that as necessary, of course. But it was a huge deal to be able to take care of that. I think that we've also strengthened our standing from a department perspective with other city and agency staff, that we need input or relation. We need those relationships so that when we send them an application for comment or pick up the phone and need to talk to them about a problem, there's somebody to talk to. We've come a long ways in that regard. And it sometimes varies day to day depending on the agency and what's happening in their life as well. But we're trying to stay on top of it. One of my goals is to get this department back to steady standing with the public, in that they trust we know what we're doing and how we're doing it. I want to get to the point where we can set expectations for the development community that it's going to take this much time to get through the hearing process, not next year or the year after. It's how many months is it going to take from you submit until I can get to the hearing. And I would like that's good for us, but it's also good for the community at large to know what to expect. And that's a huge goal and a huge take or ask, but we're getting there simply by getting rid of all the old applications that we're still sorting. And then we've reached out to many other departments within the county this past year to ensure that our processes aren't in conflict with their processes. And I think we've come a long way with that as well. So if you look over the course of the past 6 years and the revenue that is generated from our department, you can see it varies. 21 was a really big year, but it's also where there were a whole lot of applications before the comp plan changed. And it took us 2 years, 3 years to get to them actually. But you can see that we're back almost to 3 mil again. And that's a positive, definitely. We need to get there. We need to continue with that. And what I see happen in revenue projection wise, it's entirely possible.
Chairman.
Yes.
Thanks for the information, Jay, on this. Are you counting the net revenue on this? Because there was a period of time where we had a lot of refunds.
Right. And that's based. We do have, and we do track the refunds. There are a few here and there. We did change the code with regard to applications after mid-2024 when that took effect, that we can not do refunds anymore. However, there's we still walk the fine line of what's in fairness, because we can't charge more than the work that we actually do. So to just across the board so we're never given another refund is would be a little tenuous. My opinion, and I'm not a legal scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but what we're trying to, and what was presented to you last year during the budget season was that there's a certain percentage of the work that we do or the staff that does the work in our department that are not strictly fee generating positions. You know, the customer service, you've got three on the front desk and their supervisor and we have fixed it that GIS actually does bring revenue. And every time that we approve a new private road or a new subdivision or a lot split, parcel split per se, there's another address. That's actually a fee now. It didn't used to be. They just did it. And so we're generating revenue from that as well. It's helpful. But so you figure last year we requested that basically 70-30 split between real general fund money supporting our department versus revenue. And my calculated budget is about 16%, down from 30 to 16%. And so that's trending the way we want it to. And hopefully we can get there and keep it there, because that's always a question. So priorities for the coming year is a lot of its position is getting ourselves to the point where we can accept and process development applications without delay. In the hearing process, we've worked very hard for the last year and a half that I've been here to get there. And also, hopefully we get, by the end of the year, we finish that, and then we can just diversify our team's focus from just current planning. And we can do the bigger picture things that the county needs to do. We need to relook at the comp plan. We're going to have to amend it someday. But we need a better, we need folks that aren't just worried about the hearing process. We need them to and they'll grow as planners as well, given the opportunities that we can for comp planning or ordinance updates, which is going to be huge. And so we're headed down that road and hope to do that as one of our goals. We need to make sure that we can address the state mandated requirements that we do from a planning perspective by the end of the calendar year. We anticipate doing that. We didn't get any wild crazy ones this year. It was the building department or the building division's actual, they got hit nine ways this Sunday, three or four different bills through the legislature with regard to reviews, inspection fees, timing, things like that. And talking to my staff when they came out, seeing whether these things were going to move forward, and they did in the end, but they really don't affect us because we process on time. Our inspectors are in the field every day. The inspections line is open till 4 o'clock. We schedule all of those that come in during the day for the next morning, and our inspectors get the email and away they go to their assignments for the day. And so they're keeping up really well. I'm not worried about that. It's always, what are they going to do to the cities? What are they going to do to now the county? So it wasn't a horrible year from the legislature. We also anticipate really jumping into the zoning ordinance to be able to fully implement the comp plan. That'll make a lot of people happy. It will also allow us to do our job more efficiently because the zoning ordinance will be up to date. And the two will sync. There's always, there's that question every hearing, well, the comp plan says this. Yeah, but I don't have an ordinance that actually says you can do that to date, so we need to get there. And then during this upcoming year, we'll be reviewing our fee schedule that we finally got adopted this past March, that whether it needs to go up, go down, or whatever, we want to be responsive to what it costs to, from a staff perspective, what it costs to review and analyze and take applications to hearing. So, and we'll have a better idea by the end of the year what our fee schedule has addressed and how it's working out, if we need to tweak some more things to make it work better. And basically overall, I need the department to be nimble enough to shift focus or process, or if, you know, policy changes or public sentiment comes to light, or the board sends us down a different road with priority and on some other things. We need to be nimble enough to do that and not be buried in current planning issues and the bottleneck at applications will solve a lot of those things in a big hurry. It'll build everybody's confidence in us as well. So with regard to the A budget, we're not adding any staff. We are maintaining our 30 FTE through the current funding levels. We do have one position open. That's the development services tech on the front desk. A promotion to permit supervisor led to that. And I've gotten a lot of applications. We'll have that filled pretty quickly. And then I calculated what I anticipate for fiscal year 26 as far as overtime is concerned, because I have, like, on occasion I have inspectors in the field that are in the middle of an inspection, can be right at 5 o'clock, or I have hearings three times a month, two PNC hearings in a technically, the hearings examiner is an afternoon meeting, but I have planning staff that then are have overtime or extra hours in that regard. So the org chart that we talked about a little bit ago, everything in red is currently budgeted and on deck. The orange or the yellow is the open position. It's not a new position. It's the same position. We had three before. We have two at the moment, need a third. And the gray is our part-time senior admin specialist that's devoted strictly to code enforcement.
But you're keeping that
though. And we're keeping
okay.
That.
Okay. Yes. Out of your budget. That was
right. It's 29 hours.
Okay. We just need to add it back in there so you can use it.
Apparently I left it out.
Yeah. No, it's okay. That's what I was clarifying earlier.
I will verify that.
Chairman?
Yes.
And I, maybe I've missed it, but I don't see a copy of this budget presentation that you're working off of. What? Okay, so if we could get one afterwards,
spot on,
I guess. Yeah.
The PDF afterwards.
Thank you.
It's not a problem. I was having problems getting it printed in time.
No yeah. Problem. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Don't feel pressure.
So with regard to the B budget, it's what, $59,000 more than what it was last year, roughly, pretty close to 50. But I provided what I'm requesting, what we requested last year and the year before. You can see that between those three numbers, it is not a huge increase over time. Also, what I've asked, because I don't anticipate being able to utilize all of the professional consultant fund that I had, or the budget I had from last year. We're gonna get a consultant to help us do the comprehensive plan, implementation plan. But I don't anticipate that it will necessarily be complete by September 30th, so I've rebudgeted some of that and then changed it to from conference plan, also potentially having an outside consultant support for ordinance, helping us get the ordinances that need to be written, because that will also involve community engagement. And so I am asking for an additional 20 grand total from last year's, or from 2025 to this year, to ensure that all those three things, from comp plan implementation to the ordinance and community engagement, I can potentially go outside if necessary. There's a good chance that I have one of my newest planners, a principal planner that you met last week, has a lot of long-range planning background and experience. And so if I can put her in charge of that and get a consultant that does the dirty work for her while she's doing the legwork, it will save a lot of money in that regard. But I would like to have it done by October. And so we're weighing that issue, see what we can do there. I reduced the engineer's ask from 40 to 30 as well, because we're significantly lower on utilization of the consultant engineers per se, but we still have to be able to cover the survey services for sure, because we don't have a survey staff to do that. We do anticipate underspending our consultant, professional consultant budget this year by about, we're only going to be able to end up spending about 35 of that. So, and as I stated with regard to abatement, we increase that fund from 50 to 100. And liens, of course, will be hopefully responsible to reimburse the county and refund that account as time goes. Service contracts, building codes, and the software licenses that are required to do the job. Education and training, I reduced it from 34, 35 to 30. One thing is I've got some experienced staff. I have some newer staff that I would like to be involved in their professional organizations and things like that, and be able to get my staff a chance to go to a conference or training session. Not everybody is traveling. For that matter, the APA conference for the Idaho chapter this year is actually in Nampa in September, October. My staff, I will send to that. There's no overnight stays or anything, so that's low-hanging fruit in that regard. The P&Z commission fees went up slightly because I added the hearing examiner into that. I do want to get back to 7 members, though, because the fewer the members, the harder it is to get quorum every twice a month, and that's evidence itself. We rescheduled the June 5th P&Z commission to June 12th to make sure that we could have a quorum that night. That involved a whole lot of notification, but our hearing specialists have to do that as well. Computer equipment, our computer equipment is pretty up to date. This is the figure that the IT put together with the equipment that needs to be replaced as in their 2 or 3 year cycle or what have you. So that's kind of where we stand there. So I've got some statistics as far as highlighting what we look at with our 6 divisions. The admin division, they run our office. They create, every time an application comes in, they create the file folder for us. They scan applications when they're done, what have you. They respond to public records requests, and you can see, you know, this year we've had 329 plan applications through the 1st of May. Those folders and all the submitted information need to be put in that. Someday, we'll simplify that and be able to, we have the software to start taking planning applications online, and that thereby all electronic as opposed to paper files. If we can reduce that, then we don't necessarily have all that many planning cases to have to create a big thick notebook of for each one. But we're in the process of implementing that software for planning. The building division has been taking applications since first of the fiscal year, basically. It works for building, and it should work the same way for planning. I've been involved in other jurisdictions that everything's submitted online, and it's so much cleaner. Plus, you can go back and check and make sure you can actually keep some of that information. Those statistics or pieces of information can be assimilated into the website. In other jurisdictions, I've seen that. If you want to look at it, at a plan of where a planning application is in the process, you can go to the city of Boise's. There's the number. Here's who's got it at this point, or that it's scheduled for hearing, or when it went to hearing, depending on the status. We want to get to that.
Right.
Save a bunch of trees.
Yeah.
Code enforcement, year to date, this fiscal year, they've opened 94 cases. They've closed 84. 65 of them have been zoning violations, 47 have been building permit violations, and 55 have been public nuisance violations. They do a pretty good job of closing the things that they can. Some are simple, easy complaint. Others, some of them that are still open are because we're still waiting to get to a hearing date on a rezone or a CU application or what have you that solves the code enforcement problem. It's ongoing, but that staff for as small that staff is, they get a lot of work done. And then our GIS division, we have Tony and Maddie is his assistant now, or his analyst. They've assigned 132 addresses so far this year. They've changed 25. It's kind of been slow, because last year I remember a whole lot of address changes coming across my desk, so that's a good thing. But these things are also, when they assign addresses, we have a fee for that. So every time a final plat comes through, hits the assessor's desk and what have you, we still have to give addresses once the parcel has been established. And so those things add up over time too. It covers part of their time. Plus, they make case maps for all the applications. They also look at the private roads from a naming perspective, and then of course subdivisions itself. So. But there, as you are aware and have seen in the past, the maps and graphics that they can prepare overnight for anything data related to they have access to is pretty darn handy. So for the billing division, just boiled it down, last year, this year, roughly the valuation of the billing projects are pretty close year to date. There's more commercial applications than last year. There's more building permits, and there's more manufactured home permits. And there's all kinds of other metrics and different applications, inspections, and otherwise that add up to the revenue. But this is just the big three. And then in planning and engineering, so far this year we've had 434 cases submitted. 75 are admin decision cases. 44 of those are land division admin cases. There's 16 private roads. It's 168 parcel inquiries. They're no longer called parcel inquiries, but because of before the new fee schedule, it was a parcel inquiry, so that's what our tracking nomenclature is. It's down about 80 from last year. Year to date, which is good. We were giving them away before. Now they cost a little more. So we'll recoup our time on those. And there's 13 rezones, be it conditional or straight rezones, 19 conditional use applications, including two CU modification applications. There's 11 subdivisions. There were only three at this time last year. There was no confidence anybody that wanted to put in a subdivision application was ever going to get through our process. So we are strengthening that. We've had 11 so far. Well, and I know there's been two since the 1st of May. There was one on Friday. And what we haven't really ever charged for before is pre-application conferences. We put a value on those, and that before you submit an application, I need the applicant to come in and sit down with my staff and make sure they got a ducks in a row and that the application is appropriate, will fit mostly with what their proposal is. But that's a $50 fee, where it was just call and somebody will come talk to you, and you know, we have the same folks coming in, but all the time that don't want to pay that fee. We're trying to push into that, but we want the pre-application conference to mean something and have value so that, you know, we know what to anticipate. It also helps us project what our applications will be coming in the door down the road and prepare us for it from a staffing level or from just having all of our ducks in a row. So these are some of the things that I talked about. Parcel inquiries, there were 168 last year, there were 230. At this time during the same period, October 1 to the 1st of May. And so I still put in my budget projection that I'm going to take one APA application in between now and the end of the year. Who knows? But and then we'll see what we have to establish for a fee on that. We took a stab at the last one, so anyways. But that's where we're headed. That's how we're going to do it. Here's why we're doing it. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Do we have a planned unit development category for applications, or is it just straight subdivision?
Straight subdivision at this point, Mr. Chairman. Our code had a PUD provision and ordinance in years past. We haven't had one for, I would say, 2017. And there's a reason one way or the other. In my experience, a PUD helps us towards a better project and not necessarily just the letter, the black and whiteness of the code. A subdivision will be this. If we wanna put a price on open space, and we want a development that has pathways or open spaces that connect to other subdivisions rather than just your block of homes, and maybe you get a connected road through, but that's about it. With the PUD, we can really address what needs to be addressed from a rezone perspective, development, the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it's gonna in the future, far beyond what we can do right now with that one. So that's one thing I would like to do this coming year as well, is let's resurrect a PUD, make it a good PUD ordinance, and make it mean something, and then fly with it.
Okay.
Because not every application just fits in the
right. Yeah.
Puzzle piece. But that allows us flexibility, it allows us creativity in order to get a better project on in the works.
Questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
Chairman?
Yes.
A couple of questions. In the current year's budget, we had $56,000 in the other miscellaneous revenue line. So far, year to date, we brought in $2,200 and change of the $56,000. There was no notes on that line item, and historically in prior years it was usually around $10,000. I'm wondering if it jumped to that $56K because it was where we didn't have a dedicated abatement line, which is new in the proposal for next year, but seeing that the revenue for other miscellaneous in the FY26 proposal is still pretty high, and plus we're adding the abatement line, I'm wondering if we're overbooking the revenue a bit with that other miscellaneous without knowing the logic behind the 56.
Through the chair. And Mr. Clerk did. So I was confused by the miscellaneous as well, because there weren't any notes in years past, and I frankly don't know what that miscellaneous was. So I did knock some off of it, but I don't know what it goes to. So further reducing that to an appropriate level is works for me. That's not a problem. Tell me what it entails. Miscellaneous is.
I'm very sure it's related to the abatement. Hopes of reimbursement.
So it makes sense to have the lines, dedicated lines that are in the FY26 budget. We might knock that back down to 10 or historical levels as we look at with that.
And I can add, I mean, I suppose that I could go in and add in the notes as to what this at present is intended for, potentially. Because frankly, I didn't know.
Let's do that. Go in and put something in the notes unless what? Rich, let's knock it down to 10, you think? Was that where the historicals were?
It was looking at about 10,000, 15,700, 13,300. So, yeah, I mean, 10 would probably be okay.
Okay.
Because there is under 35,4,102 is abatement and reimbursement.
Yeah.
So, really, it should be there as opposed to the miscellaneous, anyways. I don't know what miscellaneous revenue actually speaks to.
I don't know.
We have to look at the journal entry for it.
Good.
So that might adjust the revenues a little bit, but it's still being at higher even with that adjustment. I think the director has 379,000 in anticipated increase over the current year, so it might be more like 330 or 340 after we do the adjustment. But.
Okay.
And then hearing the ratios are just kind of, I don't know if there's a target on the ratios. The director spoke to kind of 70-30, 80-20, 16% budget. I mean, it might be after this adjustment, closer to 20%. I've heard constituents ask, and I just don't know if there's an established expectation on how much should growth be funding its own costs by way of providing services, and how much are hard fixed costs that you're going to have regardless of whether development's occurring or not. But it sounds like with the increased fee adjustment, I just looked at Kootenai. We're pretty similar to Kootenai. Kind of use them as apples. And then Ada, they actually subsidize their development services more than us. they're applying. They're using more general fund money to meet their budgetary. So it looks like we're better than Ada as far as percentage, and we're similar to Kootenai. So
Mr. Chair, the a little bit of the difference at Ada County's structure is their planning, their development services team also has other focuses than we have stuff to focus. They have the long range, a couple, three staff is devoted to that, and maybe there's comp plan amendments they have to do, but typically they're still working on their code from 3 years ago for them. I don't think it's implemented yet. But yeah, every jurisdiction is different how they set it up, and we would like to be as neutral as possible. It'd be great if it was, you know, the revenue that we brought in supported our department entirely. We're not to that point yet. We're hoping, we would like to get there though.
The last time that occurred was 22, looks like 200 and change more was brought in than was spent, and then
we had like four planners.
Yeah.
That's where we have the backlog.
And then 23, it was minus 686, and then 2024, it was minus 510. That's of a $3 million budget. So from a percentage standpoint, whatever that gap is essentially what you're doing to underwrite. But this year, year to date, things are, you're almost, year-to-date paying for expenses, they still have revenues to expenses. I mean, I still expect there to be some level of subsidy, but it's just more a curiosity on how much of the function is stuff that you need to have personnel committed to certain tasks, regardless of whether development is occurring or not. And then if a development is occurring, I know that people here certainly want to make sure that it's not being underwritten. But I know that's just, I'm just expressing stuff that I hear from citizens to make sure that it's
we're
not subsidized.
To be more responsive
yeah.
to our citizenry for sure.
Yeah. That's the only adjustment. I think we'll put that position back in that was noted earlier on the record. Is it the part-time position?
Yes.
Okay.
So the two big adjustments we'll make. So.
Okay. What else? Where's the bottom right corner picture taken from?
This one?
Yeah.
Myself and Victor from the fire district, we're measuring the width of a private road.
Enough said.
Half the books that I had with me that day were not going in a sage brush for no reason.
Really?
Might be a snake. Not a snake. I have a good group of staff. Do my best to keep them and get them trained up.
And when do you get Zach Wesley to hold his nameplate like he's doing in the top center picture?
We had a gathering of some sort. It could have been. It could have been an all-staff meeting. I had legal questions.
That's cool.
Hearing. A bunch of people in there right now.
Man, I don't recognize the brand of those bottles at the top of the cabinet there either. So.
That would be a home. The official was inspecting. That was not our office. That is in the field. As you can tell by the refuse that is on the counter and on the floor.
Yeah. Code enforcement.
Sure.
Yes.
Last question. On the APA, you mentioned maybe one. So the $1,400 on the budget revenue, is that, is the APA have like some sort of flat? Is that $1,400 reflect your estimate of potentially one?
Yeah, because we don't know what. Well, there would be between three and five commissioners, but is it going to be a day meeting? Is it going to be a night meeting? I have to provide staff to it, but you know, are we going to, if we have a night meeting, do we have to feed them dinner? That's where meals come into with the PNC commission per se. So we're trying to, we'll address that when we actually have one. I hadn't anticipated setting a date and time for that meeting until I heard from whoever we appoint to that commission to have a preference, basically. Because some people wouldn't necessarily be available during the day, but I don't expect to have four-hour APA commission meetings either. They're there for application-specific. If we have an application, then we're calling a meeting to review it and make a recommendation on it. So it's not like a typical PNC hearing.
So if you had three, is the revenue intended just to offset what the actual costs are? So that will just net out? Okay, then I don't really care.
I just
want to understand the logic of the $1,400 on the revenue. And if you had more, you'd incur more costs, but you'd also be charging the applicant, right, for the
yeah,
APA?
That would go, part of that would come out of that application fee. The administrative costs, because according to the law, we can only charge administrative fees to that. The cost of reviewing the application, and that means we have to support the APA commission at that same time, out of that same fund, that application fee.
So that 3222 one to agricultural protection area where there's 1,400 under the revenue line?
Yeah, I projected we're gonna get one application between now and October, and that's what the fee is at the moment. And that will cover us.
Gotcha, okay.
Like I say, it could be a fee that goes down the next time we look at it, because of the experience that we learned from the first one. We'll know how much staff time it takes, we'll know how many commissioners we have, what the bylaws say, if we don't pay them a stipend, no stipend, they do it anyways, to see if they will figure that out.
Gotcha, okay. Thank you.
All right. It's being a moneymaker.
Now, like you said, statutorily, it's just cost recovery, right?
Right.
Okay, any other changes we need to contemplate?
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Well, let's take this input and with those changes that the clerk's office is gonna do under advisement. If there's no other questions or comments, make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.